And I'm going to tell you all where to flip in your scriptures. That way you can get there. But I'm going to go back and talk. You can open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. It's a very familiar verse for many of us. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. That's where we're going to start. That's our first text for today. But I want to be quite honest with you. You know, Brother David and I spoke just the other day, and we're going to be talking about change for probably another 3 weeks. And which is kind of funny, because if you think about it, that's all I've been preaching on all my career, is change. Because that's what God is about. God is about change. He's about changing us from death to life. He is about changing our outlook on where we are, taking us out of sin, getting us free of that bondage, and then setting us on the road of righteousness. And that's all about change. So every message I've ever taught, everything I've ever preached, every Bible study I've ever done has truly been about change. It's the only topic I speak on. Are you bored of it yet? I pray not, because we're not done. We've not arrived. How many of us are fully changed? No, fully changed. That will only happen in the presence of glory, amen, when we stand in the presence of glory, and we will be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, the scripture says. But God wants us to change, and one of the things that we looked at was cultural change and how cultural change affects our world and how it's supposed to affect us. And then we looked at physical change and how physical change affects us and our outlook on the things of this world and spiritual aspects. But today I want to talk about those spiritual changes. I'm going to paint some broad strokes today, and then we're going to break it down a little bit over the next 2 to 3 weeks, because change happens. How many of you have never been affected by change? If you've never been affected by change, you died at birth. Because from the moment you were born, you have been changing to the moment we die, when we are changed forevermore. Change, it happens. But positive change only happens as we submit and commit ourselves to the goodness and righteousness of God in His great mercy. That's my first point. Write that down if you're taking notes. Positive change only happens as we submit and commit ourselves to the goodness and righteousness of God in His mercy. From Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8, we read these words. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." You know, I'm amazed in life how many of us accentuate the positive. How many of us accentuate the negative? I want you to think about that. If I had to give you a list, and this is funny because this was actually done in a high school. A list was given to children, to teenagers, and they were supposed to write down the 10 most positive things that have happened to them in the last month. And then on the opposite side of the paper, they would write down the 10 negative things. And they had a time limit. Which side of the paper do you think filled up first? The youth had a hard time finding those positive things. But boy, they filled the page up with the negative things. Because that's what we accentuate. Those are the things that stick out in our mind. God wants us to forget those things. You know, God forgets them in your life. When you come to Christ, God does not accentuate on the negative anymore. God thinks on all the goodness, all the mercy, all the grace, all the things that we just read about there in that Philippians verse. If anything is excellent, think on these things, dwell on these things. And that's what God does. When he sees us, he doesn't see our fallenness. He sees Jesus Christ. He sees his own reflection coming back at him. How many of you, when you look at yourself in the mirror, see the goodness of Jesus Christ? Or how many of you, when you look in the mirror, you see the warts? The wrinkles. The gray hair. Okay? How many of us... Yeah, I got Phoebe over here. She's like, I don't have warts or wrinkles or gray hair. You'll get there. And I pick on everybody in the service. You're just new, so... If you're here, you're fair game, right? Because God loves us all, and he calls us all by name. And I want you to understand that. That's how real these sermons are. They are meant for... What was that? What was that? I like that. That's what most people think. They're meant for you. No. The word is me. And I don't mean me. You're supposed to be saying it. You say it. Me. Me. And Whitey says, you. When we think about what God looks at, he says, no, it's about me. Because it's about Christ in me. And who is Christ but God? And isn't that the awesomeness? I mean, when you think about the scripture that we just read, look at it again, look at it again, look at it again. He says to us from verse 6, to be anxious for nothing. How many of us in our lives, when something goes wrong, we get anxious right away? How many of us, when calamity comes our way, we're thinking to ourselves, oh no, why me? What did I do? Okay? God says, be anxious for nothing. When are you going to realize you live in a sin-filled world? You live in a sin-filled body. Okay? Stuff is going to happen. How you respond to it and your part in it. Because I'll guarantee you right now, all of us here are innocent, right? None of us have ever done anything wrong. Not my fault. Wrong. We're all sinners, each and every one of us, by the very nature of who we are. So what comes our way is because of who we are. So don't be anxious about anything. Do you love God? Do you trust God? Lean on him. Scripture says, lean not unto your own understanding, but trust also in God. Commit thy way unto him. And he shall bring it to pass. Amen, Brother Dan? And when we can do that, we don't have to be anxious about anything. Because as we come to him with prayer and supplication, we serve a God of good gifts. He wants to give us goodness. He wants to pour out blessing into our lives. We don't serve a God who is an ogre. Okay, we don't serve a God. You know, I think it's funny because when I used to be, you know, years ago, I used to think that, you know, God had a big stick and a bowl of candy. And if you did something good, you got a piece of candy. That was blessing. Okay, but when you did something wrong, he'd whack you. I used to think that all the time. And man, I just kept getting whacked. It was like nothing good ever came to me. Until finally one day when Christ was really in my heart, when I truly accepted the Lord and began walking with him, I began to realize that's what the world does. God has never done anything but love me. He has never done anything but love me. All the crud that came into my life because of life, because of the sin in this world. As it has increased, so too has the ugly stuff, right? And that's where we see all this change coming, because people are hurting. Think about it. Happy people don't hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. Think about it. It took me a long time to realize that because I was one of those hurt people hurting people. And the more I began to be changed, the more I began to think on the good things. Oh, look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. How can you be miserable if you are praising God? You know, I think it's so amazing to me. When I'm down, when things are coming at me, guess what one of the first things I do is? I go in my study, and I get my music out, which is all in my computer, and I just start playing song after song. You can ask my wife, she hears me. And I begin playing song after song after song after song, because I'll guarantee you right now, the devil cannot stand where God's being praised. Can I get an amen? Amen. When you are raising high the name of Jesus Christ, when you are lifting him up, Satan has to flee. Has to. He can't stand there. And when we allow that kind of change to take place in our lives, that is going to change you to the very core. It is positive change. Now, I want you to think about something. How many of you here have raised kids or are raising kids? Okay? Very good. How many of you here have been a child at one point in time? So we've all been raised up, or we are raising up others, right? Some of us both. Let me ask you a question. When you were a little child, did you enjoy brushing your teeth? I want you to think about that. I really do. I can remember, this is not a joke, I can remember being in first grade, and we had a dentist come in to school. And they brought in these toothbrushes, and they gave us these little tablets, and they told us to chew these little tablets up. So we're chewing these tablets, and they tasted like cherry, and it was really cool. And then we started smiling at each other, and our teeth were red. They were gross looking. And what these things were was to show you where all the tartar and plaque was in your mouth, okay? And the amazing thing was, they gave us these things to use after we had all supposedly brushed our teeth with the toothbrush that they had given us. So we didn't know how to brush our teeth. The fact of the matter was, our mouths were still filthy. And how many of us in this day and age, in this life, in Christ Jesus, even though we've been cleansed, still have filthy mouths? Metaphor here. Okay? We need to dwell on these things. We need to get that toothbrush and let it soak in. My point of using the toothbrush, it takes good habits to learn something. It's something you have to practice over and over and over and over again. I used to have a brother in Christ. Well, I still do, but his opinion has changed. He said to me one day, he said, well, I'm not going to do any of that stuff because that's fake. That's not who I am. I said, yeah, but that's who you're supposed to be. Well, when it happens, then I'll be that person. I said, well, then it's never going to happen. I said, how did you learn to drive a car? I said, did you just get behind the wheel and go one day? You have to take that time, okay? And you have to build that good habit. You have to build it into yourself, which may seem alien at first. Why do I have to go to church? Why do I have to praise God? Why do I? Because if you don't, you're going to stay in that negative state. That's why you're complaining about everything. When you look at our world, they want us to conform to the image that they have because the image is so low that they don't have anything else to aspire to. They want us to lower what we are. But one of the things that we need to remember as the Church of Jesus Christ is we cannot set ourselves up on that pedestal to think we're better than anybody else. Because I don't know about you, but I crawled out of the same kind of sewer that those people were yet still in. And in fact, if I really want to be honest with myself, there are parts of my life that are still there. You may find that hard to believe. Wait a minute, you're the pastor. I don't care, you're the congregant. Where are you? We're being honest here, aren't we? None of us is holy. It has been bestowed upon us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we've got a long way to go. So we still have to practice these things. To be changed, to be positively influenced, we need to grab a hold of the love of God. See, this is why I chose the songs that we did today. Because God doesn't see our mess ups. God only sees his child. And he loves us to no end. He sees no negative in us. Every time you and I screw up, God forgets it the instant it happens. And he just keeps coming at us with love. 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 Never ending. And our world longs to see that. There are people out there today, we call them lepers. Do you see why this meant so much to me when we were? It was like, you have no idea what God puts together. They're modern day lepers. And the church avoids them, but says, we love you, and avoids them. We need to get out of these pews because they stinketh, and get out there into the world and begin touching lives. And we're going to be doing that come April. Come April, we're going to be out in the streets because I got to get with Missy, I got to get with Dennis, and I got to get with Miss Amy, and we are going to put together our prayer walks, and we're going to get out there, and we're going to walk around the area. We're going to be praising God. We're going to be looking for what's good. We're going to be accentuating the good and going out there and pulling that out of the people that are out there, because we're going to ask them to come to church, right? No, we're going to ask them, how can we pray for you? What's going on in your life? How can we lift you up? All of us are already negative enough. God wants us to be agents of change for good, because he wants to change us for the good that is truly in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is good and he is in us. And we need to emulate that. And he wants us to be that power. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Verses 16 through 18. As I said, positive change only happens as we submit and commit ourselves to the goodness and righteousness of God in his mercy. And from 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, these are his words to you and I. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me, meaning imitators of who Paul was and what he was doing, okay? For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful. Nope. 2 Corinthians 3, wow. I still like that one. 16 was good. 16 was good, all right? 17 was wrong as soon as I hit it. I'm in 3. Not 4, 3. Do you not know, there you go. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 3 and 16. No, 4 and 16. I was there. I am in 1 Corinthians. Oh, my heavens. Wow, I'm glad you know where I am, because I certainly don't. We can say, we forgive you, Pastor Rich, because we love you. See, we all mess up, don't we? You're all never going to forgive me of that, right? The people out there on the internet are like, what's that guy doing? I'm being me. I'm being real. I'm being down where I really am. Remember what I said? Don't lift us up, because I'll guarantee you I'll put myself on the floor. 4 and 16, book 2. Therefore, do not lose heart. But through our outer man, though our outer man is decaying, yet your inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Whew, that's really where I wanted to go. Your situation is going to disappear. It's going to go away. All right? How many times in your life has it seemed like this is never going to end? Guess what? The sun always comes up tomorrow. How many of you know that song? Tomorrow, tomorrow. You know, I think that's Annie. What was it? Is that Annie? Okay. It's only a day away. But man, that day can seem like a million years, can it? We need to remember these light and momentary troubles, these things that are coming our way, are actually here to help us grow. They are testing our faith, and they are allowing us the opportunities to call upon the Lord, to walk with Him, to be strengthened by Him. If we didn't need God, do you think we'd have these trials and temptations? God knows we need Him. That's why He created us the way He did. There is something innately missing in each and every one of us. And that something that is missing is the Holy Spirit. And once we have the Holy Spirit, we feel a little bit better about ourselves. How many of you as Christians feel a whole lot better about yourselves? Okay? 100% of the time. That's because when you don't feel good about yourself, that's when you have walked away from the Holy Spirit. And you're walking in yourself. You're walking in that sin nature. But if we do what this scripture tells us, if we understand, here's our truth, that we are falling apart. The outer man is decaying. Amen? I don't know about your outer man, but I know mine is. But the inner man is being made new all the time as we submit and commit ourselves to Jesus Christ, as we grow in Him. Because these light and momentary afflictions, boy, they don't feel light and they don't feel momentary. But in the face of eternity, that's exactly what they are. You and I are eternal beings. Do you realize that when we have been there 10,000 years, we'll no less time than when we just begun? Think about that. We sing the songs, but do we live the life? Do we accept the love and the grace of God for the power that it is in our lives? I think about this all the time because I'll guarantee you, I think it's funny, being a pastor, it sounds like we got it all right, right? That's why I screw up the way I do and I pick the wrong book. Because you need to see, I ain't got it either. But I know who does, and I know where to go to get it. And you know what? Sometimes I need you folks to get me there, right? Got to get me on the right page. We try. Amen. Iron sharpens iron. None of us was meant to walk this walk alone. God is with us, but He is there in you to help me, and in me to help you, and in all of us to go out and reach a world. And as we do, positive change begins to happen. Well, I'm down to 11 minutes and I'm only on my first topic. When we see just how much change is a part of our scriptures, a part of who we're supposed to be, not only to be changed, but to be agents of change. Wow. I think about my life and where it used to be. I think about how I used to use people. Because I want you to think about this. Many of us did this when we were in the world. The people we called friends were friends as long as we could get from them what we wanted. And as soon as their usefulness was done, so was our relationship. Today, that's not Rich Dubs. Who he was. I'll guarantee you, you can mess me over as many times as God will allow, and I'm just going to keep coming back. I've had people say to me, why do you keep going back to that individual in this church? Why do you keep going back to that individual? All they do is let you down. All they do is, and I look at them and I say, because God loves you too. And they just look at me as if I've just cut on them. I said, no, you're not understanding what I'm saying. As many times as you feel that person has messed up is as many times as I've messed up. And God has never, ever, 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 ever forsaken me.
Amen.
All he's done is loved me through it all. You know, we sing that song too, right? Through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Really? Let's not just sing the songs. Let us be the Holy Spirit because he's in us. Let's look at number two. I might get to number three today. I kind of doubt it. What's the purpose of change God brings into our lives? What's the purpose of change? Well, turn to 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. Now, I am in 2 Corinthians, so I'm flipping back one page. I think this is one of the most amazing scriptures. This was shown to me years ago when I was first coming into ministry. Because I had a hard time accepting the fact that God was calling me into ministry. I know who I am. I know from whence I have come. How many of you, you know, you all know that saying, you know, don't forget who you are. Don't forget where you came from. Look at what God tells us. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Missy, you have an NIV. Speak that loudly.
And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image in ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit.
Did you hear that? Do you get what's being said there? The moment we accept Jesus Christ, we have been changed to glory. But we are being transformed. That change continues. You're not done when you come to the Lord. We need to grow in the Lord, in the knowledge of the Lord, in the Spirit of the Lord, in the eternal existence of the Lord. That's called progressive sanctification. In God's eyes, he sees us in eternity future. He sees us as we're going to be completely and totally transformed. He does not see us as a work in process. He sees us from the beginning to the end. He sees us as that finished work. But we are getting there during this lifetime. And as we are getting there, we are being changed from glory to ever-increasing glory. That is why this change is so important. If God were to change us in the twinkling of an eye, in the blink of an eye, we would no longer exist as we do. How do I know that? Because Scripture tells us that. In the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed. And that can only happen once we've been called up and given a spiritual body, because this physical body couldn't take it. It would kill it. It would rip it apart because of sin in it. He gives us a new body that is sinless. And then we are therefore able to be changed completely and wholly. But until that time, this is a work for you and I to work out. It's between you and God. Do you understand this is the love of a father coming to you? Now, I'm going to appeal to you mothers out there. How many of your children today are perfect? How many? I like that, Marion. That's a mother's heart. I think it's so amazing because, you know, I love to watch moms. I really do. I love to watch moms. Moms get frustrated with their kids. They love them so much, they'll do anything for them. But moms will get frustrated with their kids because they know what they should be doing and expect them to do it, but they don't do it, so they get frustrated. Is God like that? No. I think it's so amazing because God knows we're going to mess up. How do we know that? Because the cross of Calvary stands as our reminder. Without the cross of Calvary, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the cross of Calvary, there is no redemption. And the cross will stand forever. Past, present, and future. Because when Christ was on the cross, and this is so amazing, I don't understand it, I wish I could. Before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ crucified. That's Revelation. Somehow, before it all happened, it already happened. That's because God has an eternal nature, not us. We all need to remember that God is taking us from where we are to where we're going to be. He loves us so much that he doesn't care how long it takes us to get there or what happens in between. He just cares that we're on the path, that we're in the walk. You know, I'm going to tell you folks right now, you're going to screw up tomorrow. How many of you know that? How many of you would like to hear that it's okay? Not that I want you to, but that God says it's okay as long as you keep walking with me. Don't turn your back on me. Love me. Love me. Look at me. Look at me. Remember, God always says that. Look at me. Because those he loves, he looks in the face. Those he doesn't love, he turns his back to. God always says to us, look at me. His face is never hidden from us. Never hidden. Do you know what that means? We have to be changed. God cannot look upon a thing and not have it be changed. For his holiness permeates all the way through. Look what it did to Moses. And we with unveiled faces. Okay? They were so astonished that they made Moses put a veil over his face. But we with unveiled faces. When the world looks at us, why do you think the world hates us? Because when they look at us, they see a portion of that glory. But also when they look at us, and I'm going to say this, church, they see a bunch of hypocrites. My name's at the top of the list. Because I'll guarantee you, there's not a person in this room who's not a hypocrite. We'll say one thing, and while nobody else is looking, we'll do the things we shouldn't do. God knows it. So does the world. It's time we start admitting it to one another and to the world that we're screwed up. But we walk in a grace, in a glory, and in a mercy that's greater than anything we deserve. Can I get an amen? So today, as we end 1 minute early, because I am not about to get into the next one, because that's a 15 to 20 minute rant. Like how I called that a rant, okay? I want you to understand that God's love is what compels us to change. God's grace is what brings that ability into our lives. And God's mercy is what sustains our lives where we are messed up. Because God wants us to change slowly. He knows if we try to change too much all at once, it's going to hurt us. We'll lose a very part of ourselves that he wants to keep. Because it's from our brokenness that he's able to use us to reach others who are broken. Think about that. God will never get you through something that he doesn't want you to minister in. And that's a truth. So today, I want you to think about change in a spiritual manner and the fact that if we're going to change, which we're going to, if you're in Christ Jesus, you're going to. We either have to accentuate the positive or we're going to accentuate the negative. And we need to understand why we're supposed to change, because God is bringing us back to the image of his son. We are returning. We are showing the reality of what it means to be born again. For we have been born in the flesh, and now we are being reborn in the Spirit. Would you pray with me this day? Father God, we thank you. We thank you that you can take messed up lives and turn them into something glorious. Father, we thank you that you can take broken promises and change them into desires and longings that move us from where we are to where you want us to be. Father, we glorify you because you have given us a hope beyond this world and beyond the negative structures into an eternal reality where there will be no more tears. There will be no more pain. There will be only love and grace and mercy. And Lord God, so many people have spoken these things and it sounds euphoric. But Lord, that's the day we all desire. And we know it's not in this world. It is in the next. But unto that next, Lord, we submit and commit ourselves to you, to your will, and to your way. Work it out in us, Lord, with fear and trembling, that we may know your love is unfailing. No matter how many times we do. In Christ Jesus, amen.